For our Bible reading this evening, I would like to turn you to Genesis once again, where we shall read from chapters 40 and 41 tonight. Genesis chapter 40, commencing to read at verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Then at verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, "I do remember my faults this day." Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him. And he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And may the Lord bless to us and grant us an understanding of his own most holy word. Amen.
Amen.
Joseph, who had spent many years in prison, a prison which, we remarked, may well have been under the care and jurisdiction of his former master Potiphar, having spent many years languishing there, was joined at one occasion by two high-ranking servants of Pharaoh, the chief of the butlers and the chief baker. And these men, for crimes that they had committed or misdeeds that they were guilty of, had been consigned to prison, had been remanded in custody, awaiting for their case to be completed and for sentence to be pronounced against them. And these two men, being in prison alongside Joseph, dreamed each one in the same night a dream of a very different order and type than anything they had previously experienced, because these were not mere dreams only, but divinely sent messages to them. And awaking the following morning, and still having a complete recall and clarity concerning those dreams, they were distressed at the absence of any who could grant an interpretation of it. However, Joseph ventures himself and inquires as to their state of sadness, and when he hears the cause of it, makes that statement in verse 8 of chapter 40, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Words which must have sounded very strange in the ears of his two fellow prisoners for two reasons. One, to hear a man speak of God in the singular. These Egyptian servants, of course, were brought up in a polytheistic religious system, and the notion of one God was alien to them. And also to hear this man, a prisoner like themselves, indeed a mere slave who was also a prisoner and had been languishing there for many years, suggesting that he had the presence of God or a relationship with God to the extent that he would be able to interpret their dreams. Now, from this point, a great difference or division or contrast is seen to arise between these two men, the butler and the baker. It is that same great division or distinction as defines and categorizes all humanity. It is true to say that as these two men were in the prison, on either side one, and Joseph in the midst, as there was on that one occasion in Calvary, on either side one, and the Lord Jesus in the midst, as there is in the state of all humanity, on either side one of two categories of person, and the person of Christ in the midst, who makes that difference and who makes that distinction. It seems that the butler, at least, exercised a degree of faith or confidence in what Joseph had said and makes no hesitation to volunteer this information concerning his dream and to submit it to Joseph for his consideration, despite appearances, despite the humility or inconspicuousness of his fellow prisoner, in spite of this word concerning one God. He nevertheless announces his dream, and Joseph, divinely enabled to interpret it, gives the interpretation, which is that of freedom for the butler after a period of 3 days. The baker, meanwhile, comes second and proffers his dream only upon hearing that the butler received a favorable interpretation. His only motivation or interest, it seems, was to hear good news or positive news as well. And yet Joseph had no such message for him, but rather one of his imminent demise in 3 days' time. And it seems remarkable that the baker did not express more distress or horror upon hearing such news, or use the time available to him, those 3 days that were spoken of to seek to alter his case or to plead for clemency or to seek the help either of Joseph or of Potiphar to change his condition. The fact that he seems to have done no such thing is perhaps an indication of his unbelief or his skepticism at the word that was spoken. And thus it is with all humanity. There are on the one side those who, by the enabling Spirit of God, exercise faith in the word and work and Son of God and are thus saved. And the promises of Scripture to them are of life and light and immortality. And even as it is spoken concerning them, so they will receive. Whilst on the other side are those who, despite perhaps hearing something of the truth of the gospel or the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, believe it not and refuse to hear it, and despite its serious message of judgment concerning them and their state, continue heedless of it and in denial of it until, with equal certainty and with equal inexorable power, it too comes to pass exactly as it is said concerning them, and that to their eternal loss. Such are the types upon the very surface of this record of Joseph there in the prison, a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became one with humanity, shared their lot, and pronounced the truth concerning those that believe and those that believe not. This evening, I should like us to consider some further details out of chapter 40 that we purposely omitted last week, and also to add a corresponding episode in chapter 41. Because you will notice that when Joseph gave to the butler the fulfillment of his dream and the positive message concerning him, verse 13, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. He then adds this injunction, or he implores the butler in these terms, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. Such were Joseph's words, such his plea to the butler upon announcing his imminent release from custody and to be set at liberty and restored again, that once he was brought to that situation, that he might think upon Joseph there in the prison, and that he might particularly make mention of Joseph unto Pharaoh and Joseph's true state and nature, that Joseph also might be delivered. However, verse 23 of chapter 40 gives the sequel to those events. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it wasn't just that he forgot him in the immediate aftermath of his release, when the joys of restoration and freedom were still fresh in his mind, but he continued to forget Joseph for a period of at least 2 full years, of at least 24 months, at least 2 whole years had gone by before any thought of Joseph recurred in the mind of the butler again. But after that period had elapsed, there occurred an event striking in its similarities to the butler's previous experience in prison. Because there was perhaps one morning when going about his duties as chief butler and taking food and drink to Pharaoh for his breakfast or at some early part of the day, he found the royal bedchamber and the royal household to be in a state of great commotion and disarray, because during the watches of the night, Pharaoh himself had dreamed a dream. In fact, had dreamed two dreams, rather similar in nature, though different in their imagery, concerning first cattle and then ears of wheat or stalks of corn. And having had these two dreams of a very profound and impactful nature, could find none amongst his regular retinue of magicians and necromancers and viziers and wise men and so forth, who could proffer any satisfactory interpretation of those dreams. And suddenly, with dreadful solemnity, we can imagine, there must have come upon the butler the memory of the dream he had had in his cell in Egypt some 2 years previously, and a fellow prisoner there in the dungeon who had given not only any interpretation, but had given an accurate interpretation, had given precisely a truthful and wholly accurate description of events as they would befall, not only to him, the butler, but also concerning a third prisoner, the baker, who had been there at the time. And the butler comes to Pharaoh here in verse 9 of chapter 41 and says unto him, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. I do remember my faults today, says the butler. And he is not there speaking of whatever crime or misdemeanor it was that put him in the prison. He is not speaking of whatever fault it was or transgression it was that led to him being cast into the prison those years ago. No, indeed, he is speaking of a very grievous misdemeanor of which he has been persistently guilty for 2 full years. He had forgotten Joseph. He had forgotten Joseph. Our subject this evening, my friends, is the thought of Christ. The thought of Christ. Because once again we find a striking parallel between these details here in Genesis and the great antitype or fulfillment, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we sang in our opening hymn, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. And it is this matter of the thinking upon the Lord Jesus Christ that I should like us to dwell tonight. Because here is Joseph's instruction in chapter 40, verse 14. And we could equally take part of this verse and put the words upon the lips of the Lord Jesus. But think on me when it shall be well with thee. But think on me when it shall be well with thee. We read this episode concerning Pharaoh's butler and Joseph, and we think how reprehensible it was that the butler should have failed to think upon, should have failed to remember Joseph in the prison. But let us not judge the butler too severely, but rather think upon ourselves in his position and inquire as to how much we think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And do we heed this same instruction in our turn concerning him when he says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee"? And I should like us to consider why to the thought of Joseph was so important for the butler, and to learn from that how important it is for us to ever think and dwell upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to add to that list some reasons why it is yet far more important for us to think upon the Lord Jesus than ever it was for the butler to think upon Joseph. But firstly, some reasons in common, the butler and ourselves in comparison. And there is firstly this, that it is a fault to forget. It is a fault to forget. "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." Let me suggest to you this, my friends, that forgetfulness was never a problem in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall. That our first parents, in their original state and condition, were not prone to forgetfulness or to lapses in memory or to any impediment of mind that would prevent them from recalling that which they had seen and known and learned in the early days of their existence. Because forgetfulness is a weakness, is a human weakness, is something which comes about on account of sin and its consequences. And we prove it ourselves all too well, don't we? That we are each one inclined to forget from time to time things both important and trivial, things of significance perhaps. We forget appointments from time to time. We forget where we have placed some important item in the home. We most certainly forget less significant matters. There are perhaps hundreds, if not thousands, of persons whom we have met in the course of our lifetime and whom we have spoken to, and perhaps the far greater part of them have passed out of thought and memory altogether. And this is all a consequence of sin, and this is a consequence of the fall. But you know, there is one kind of forgetfulness that is particularly sinful, and it is a kind of forgetfulness that the devil himself is very keen to promote and to increase, and it is this forgetfulness of God. Forgetfulness of spiritual matters. And I am prepared to say that this is a subject which it is often harder to call to mind than almost any other. That here is subject matter that is more difficult to keep in our fallen human minds than almost any other subject one might care to mention. Because this is a sort of memory that the adversary of our souls, the devil, is at great pains to eradicate. That we should not have the word of God within easy grasp, that we should not have helpful and soul-warming thoughts of Christ within easy reach in times of crisis. No, he would have us forget those things. He would have them as far from our minds as possible. And it is especially a fault, a sin indeed, to be neglectful in thought concerning God and the things of God. Not without reason does the psalmist connect together in that same verse the wicked And, as he also goes on to describe, the nations of them that forget God. And there are, my friends, nations, countries worth of people, thousands upon thousands, yea, millions of persons, who have no thought for God. And if the truth concerning him has ever entered their consciousness or echoed in their ears, then they have very swiftly relinquished it or are willfully ignorant of it. They forget God. And this is a sin. The butler admitted it were a grievous fault to have forgotten Joseph. But my friends, to a far, far greater extent, it is a sin to be forgetful of the things of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ should be alien from our thinking or alienated from our minds. The butler ought to have remembered Joseph still further, because they had been companions in bonds. They had shared a period of time, they had shared a dungeon, they had a shared experience in life there in the prison cell. And for this reason, he ought to have remembered Joseph. Now, we have already mentioned the thousands of people with whom we come into contact in our lifetimes. And there are people whom we remember, and there are people whom we forget, and those perhaps whom we forget are those with whom we had least to do. We all, no doubt, pass through the education system of one kind or one form or another, and perhaps had classmates or those whom we studied with or we shared certain lessons with, and these perhaps we might be expected to remember. But others who were in the school but not in our year or not in our class or not doing the same subjects, then we might say, well, these we could almost be forgiven for forgetting, for not remembering their names or their faces, because we did not share a lesson with them. We did not spend time with them. We were not in the same case or in the same condition with them. But when there is a common experience, where there is a shared circumstance that unites us, why then we might expect to remember those individuals more. And of course, the butler should have remembered Joseph, we might say, because for a season, it might have been a lengthy season, perhaps it might have been a number of months, if not of years, that they shared together in the dungeon in Egypt. They had this in common. There was a reason for the butler to remember Joseph, because they had shared that lot together. My friends, we have reason to remember the Lord Jesus, because he has shared our experience with us. Because there is common ground between us. Because there has been a shared experience. Now, we have not been privileged to meet the Lord Jesus in the flesh, so to speak. We did not live or exist at that same time and period in history when he walked upon earth. But as we have previously mentioned, my friends, the Lord Jesus condescended to walk the face of this planet. He humbled himself to be found in fashion as a man, to be found in the likeness of a servant, and to take upon himself our flesh and blood, and to know what the human experience is, and to share that, and to endure that. We have this common ground. We have this shared experience with him. We have reason to remember him, because he has been human as we are, and he has lived as we live, and he has suffered as we suffer. We have this in common. He has condescended to have so much in common with us. And this surely is grounds and reason, motivation to think upon him and to call him to mind. Still more, we might say the butler deserved or ought to have remembered Joseph, because not simply did Joseph suffer the same as the butler suffered, but he suffered far more than the butler suffered. Joseph, you remember, was already in the prison ere the butler and the baker were consigned there, and Joseph remained in that prison long after the butler was released. The magnitude of Joseph's sufferings were far greater, were far more, were far longer than the butler was subject to. And the length and the magnitude of Joseph's sufferings was not the only difference, but you remember what he says in verse 15 of Genesis 40. Also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Joseph suffered unjustly. He suffered without cause. He suffered without reason. At least without human reason, without good judicial reason. The butler and the baker had somehow crossed the will or the law and commandments of Pharaoh and were justly consigned to prison for a time. Joseph had done nothing worthy of bonds. He suffered unjustly, and that cried out for remembrance, that cried out for the sympathetic thoughts of the butler. The Lord Jesus has endured the experience of man and submitted and subjected himself to that lot and that course in life. But my friends, it is not simply that he has shared the same experience as ourselves. He has endured something far, far worse. He suffered the very lowest lot of man in this life. He endured poverty and privation and sorrow and woe and griefs innumerable. He knew what it was to be hungry to the point of faintness, to be weary to the point of almost insurpassable fatigue, to be to suffer the very worst, to suffer the very lowest, to suffer the very deepest extremes that the human experience can afford. He knew what it was then to suffer gross miscarriages of justice against himself in no less than 3 different courts of law, and to endure the punitive measures which all those courts could level against him, to suffer a corporal punishment, to suffer at length capital punishment for crimes of which he was entirely innocent, for charges which were never substantiated against him. But still more, my friends, he suffered all these things willingly. He suffered all these things as a substitute and surety for a great company of people in whose place he stood. He suffered unjustly in that sense. He suffered for crimes he had not done. He suffered for sins that were not his own. And this great fact, this fundamental feature of his suffering, is that which cries out that he should be remembered, that he should be thought upon in our minds. still further. The butler had good reason to remember Joseph, because Joseph had spoken to him the word of life, the word of freedom, the word of hope, the word of emancipation, the word that declared his liberty, that promised his liberty. We do not know how long the butler spent in jail. We do not know exactly the circumstances that put him there, but this we can say: for a long time, that butler heard nothing but words of condemnation, words of doom, words of judgment. He was found out for whatever crime he was guilty of. He heard perhaps witness or testimony being given against him. He heard that witness being corroborated. He heard his case begin and go badly against him. He heard the commandment that he should be remanded in custody and consigned to a cell, given out, and there he is in prison. And for a lengthy period of time, he would hear nothing perhaps other than the groanings and murmurings of his fellow prisoners, the austere commands of the prison guards, and so forth. Until that day of a conversation with Joseph, until that day when he spoke of his dream to Joseph. And then it is at the lips of Joseph that he hears this wonderful truth, that he hears freedom spoken of and liberty spoken of, and hears that Pharaoh, whom he dreaded as judge, would lift up his head and restore him unto his place, and he should deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when he was a butler. A word of reconciliation, a word of restoration. And it was Joseph that spoke that word to him. It was Joseph that said it would be so. In the gospel, my friends, it is the Lord Jesus Christ whose voice we hear pronouncing life, pronouncing liberty, declaring, "Come unto me, ye weary, and ye that are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls." It is the Lord Jesus who says, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and in them ye have eternal life." The Lord Jesus speaks that word, my friends, and in his case, in our case, it is not merely the interpretation of a dream. It is a promise. It is a proclamation. It is a declaration that these things will be so, that these things must be so. He is the one who declares our liberty, who sets us at liberty. What cause we have to think of him, to remember him. The butler still had more reason to remember Joseph, because Joseph requested it, because Joseph specifically told him to remember him. Joseph, in the selfsame breath, we might say, at the very same time as declaring the interpretation of the dream, said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee." And my friends, in so many places and in so many ways, the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us that we must remember him. The Lord instructs us to think upon him. Indeed, he has given us a practical and symbolic ordinance whereby to do that very thing. But don't imagine that this is the only one of his instructions, or the only way, or only time of remembrance. He tells us to ask in his name, to pray in his name, to go in his name, to baptize in his name. time and again in the commandments of the New Testament. The Lord Jesus would have his disciples remember him and think upon him and do so many things and perform so many things in remembrance of him, in honor of him, in connection with his name. The Lord Jesus in tones unmistakable, as tones as direct as Joseph, instructs us in our Christian life these things to do in remembrance of him. The butler had reason to remember Joseph because he was now at liberty to do so. The butler would be at liberty. He would be free. Time was when he was in the darkness of the prison cell, when he was in the dungeon, when his thoughts were perhaps obsessed with his own sad lot, his own potential demise, the threat of judgment hanging over him, when his thoughts were full perhaps of hunger and privation known in the prison cell and the pain of the shackles or the irons placed upon him. But a time would come when it would be well with him, when he would be at liberty to serve the king once again, at liberty to go about his life and his service and his duties as a butler. He would be at liberty to think upon Joseph. He would be in a position to benefit from those thoughts and to think beneficial thoughts of Joseph. You see the equivalent, my friend. When we were in our state of bondage, in sin and nature's night, the thought of Christ never crossed our minds. If we knew his name, it was only in vague terms as some historical character or some religious figure concerning whom we had at best only a confused and sin-impaired thoughts. But, oh, my friends, we are now set at liberty. It is well with us. We are brought into a place and into a position and into a situation where we can think upon the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can dwell upon him, where we can say with the hymn writer in those words that we sang, no voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Saviour of mankind. We are in a state and condition where we can think upon him, and when we can delight ourselves in the Lord, we are at liberty to do so. The butler had great reason to remember Joseph, because the baker could not. It was no good Joseph giving that commandment or that instruction to the baker, because the baker, it seemed, was full of skepticism and dark doubts about the whole situation, and the baker, persisting in that state, would in 3 days' time be summoned for execution and would be put to death. There would be no remembering of Joseph on the part of the baker. And fellow Christian, this evening, let me challenge you with this, my friends, that the amount of thought that is devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ upon the face of this planet, that the amount of time that is spent dwelling upon him, that the amount of praise and prayer that ascends unto him from this world is never going to come from the unbelieving masses, is never going to ascend from the greater proportion of godless, unbelieving mankind, because they do not believe and because they are dead in trespasses and in sins. You are commanded to think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You are instructed to remember him and to dwell upon him and his perfections, because the unbelieving world never will, because the unbeliever cannot. because they are dead in their trespasses and in sins. This is why the butler was instructed to remember Joseph. The baker was not. You, fellow Christian, are told to think upon him and to dwell upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ, because the multitudes of the unbelieving world do not. The butler had great reason to remember Joseph, because Joseph remembered him. Of this we might be sure. The butler, thrilled with his release, his mind filled with his duties reassigned to him and the advantages of service in Pharaoh's house, perhaps drove from his mind the thought of Joseph. But of this we may be sure. Joseph thought of that butler every day. Joseph pondered the lot of that butler every day. And perhaps from time to time news would reach Joseph concerning Pharaoh's household and those that served in it. Perhaps he even heard the butler's name being used and what was being said about the butler inasmuch as it reached the dark confines of the dungeon. Joseph thought upon the butler, though the butler forgot him. And it is true to say, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ's thought of you and I is constant and perfect and continual and unimpaired. We are subject to change and to decay and to forgetfulness and to wanderings and to becoming obsessed with the things of this life or becoming so preoccupied with other matters, both legitimate and otherwise, that we are forgetful of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, he never forgets us. He never does and he never will. The fact of the matter is, fellow Christian, he was thinking of you. He knew your name before you had a name, before you had thought or sin or existence at all. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You were known unto him then. Your name has been written in heaven from a past eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ thought of you 2,000 years ago upon Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ thought upon you as he rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ thought upon you when you were too small, too young, too incognizant to think anything or to think of yourself. The Lord Jesus thinks of you still. He thinks of you in your times of spiritual prosperity, when you are in this place praising his name. He thinks of you in the midst of your sin and when you are succumbing to temptation and when you are wandering from the pathway. The Lord Jesus thinks of you when you are engaged in prayer to the heavens, and he thinks of you on the days when you forgot to pray at all and didn't read the scriptures. The Lord Jesus will think upon you when perhaps mind and mental faculties give way on account of advanced age and weakness and frailty. The Lord Jesus will think upon you to the time when you can meet face to face and commune as friend with friend. Can we not then spare a thought for him? Can we not then devote more of our time, of our mental energies, unto him? O thou, my soul, forget no more the friend who all thy misery bore. Let every idol be forgot. But, oh, my soul, forget him not. The butler had reason to remember Joseph, because the recollection of Joseph would accomplish great things. The butler's eventual calling to mind of Joseph and that episode in the cell produced remarkable results we might say. When he eventually, there in the bedchamber of Pharaoh, called Joseph to mind again, what an effect it had. Pharaoh's dream would be interpreted. But not only that, but the implications of that dream would be made known. Years of plenty to be followed by years of famine, not only in Egypt, but over so much of the Middle East. A plan of action would be proposed in relation to those coming circumstances, which would lead to Egypt making provision and saving not only their own nation, their own people, but also persons from so many surrounding lands. And it would be greatly to the advantage and to the financial advancement of Egypt as a whole. And all of this would come about because on that day, on that morning, the butler called Joseph to mind again and spoke his name. Oh, my friends, I cannot begin to overstate. It is impossible to overstate the effects, the consequences, the benefits to be had from the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. To dwell upon him, to think upon him, to speak of him produces such effects, has such consequences to ourselves. First and foremost, what good it does us, what a remedy for sin, what an inspiration to holiness, what a guide to godliness, what a comfort in distress, what an aid in sorrow, what advantage it might do to others. Oh, from the butler's testimony on that occasion, from the butler's witness in the court, in the bedchamber of Pharaoh, multitudes of persons ultimately were saved. Millions of persons delivered from death by starvation. To witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak of him and of his power and of his deity and of his salvation unto others can produce tremendous effects. We do not read of the butler again. We do not know anything of his life after this time, necessarily. But his witness and his testimony was given. And it is true to say, my friends, that there are persons whom the Lord has used at different times in history to be instrumental in the salvation of multitudes, to be great preachers and teachers and evangelists. But we might say, who was the individual that spoke to them? Who was the person who witnessed to the great evangelist? Who was it? Spoke to Whitfield or to the Wesleys or to Jonathan Edwards and was the means in their conversion? Very often these individuals, those upstream, we might say, in the purposes of God, are little known or little recorded. But they were used in mighty ways, and so each one of us may be in our turn. In all these ways we see how the butler's reasons for remembering Joseph and our reasons to remember and call to mind the person of the Lord Jesus Christ have so much in common. But let me in conclusion add some reasons why all these things that we have said still fail to do justice to our situation, still fail to emphasize how vital it is for us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, my friends, we spoke of Joseph's sufferings in the prison and how the butler had reason to reflect upon them. When we think upon the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has endured, we need to add to this this extra dimension. We were the cause of his sufferings. We were the cause of it. Joseph was not in prison because of anything the butler had done. Joseph was not languishing in that dungeon on the butler's account or in the butler's place. But this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. He has not merely suffered those things with us, he has suffered those things for us. He has not merely suffered far over and above anything we have endured because of other reasons or because of other imperatives. No, he has suffered them because of you and because of me, fellow Christian. He suffered them because of us. He suffered them for us. He suffered them in our stead. We are the cause of the things he has endured. We are the reason for the things he has suffered. Is not this still greater cause to remember him? And still more in our case, in the spiritual reality which these things merely typify, the Lord Jesus is the cause of our deliverance. You see, Joseph merely spoke of the deliverance which the butler would experience. But the Lord Jesus effected ours. Not only did he promise our release, not only did he announce it, he effected it. He caused it to be so. He, by suffering as he did and by entering that prison as he did, burst open its doors, set our souls at liberty, delivered us from that bondage which we were in by nature and would ultimately have perished in eternally. He is not the interpreter only. He is the Saviour. And lastly, and most preeminently of all, we have reason to remember the Lord Jesus because he is now exalted above. The butler forgot Joseph for a full 2 years. But I suggest this to you, my friends. He never forgot him again. He never forgot him again. Nor could he. In a very short space of time, Joseph would be exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. Joseph would be the most well-known name in all of Egypt. Joseph would be the means of delivering the entire Egyptian people from famine. And for the rest of his lifetime, Joseph would be in the place of highest honor in all the empire of Egypt. The butler would never forget him again, because he was exalted to the right hand of the majesty. He was brought to that position of preeminence over all things. And my friends, we live at this point in time and history and the unfolding of God's purposes when the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer upon earth suffering in a mortal body. He has lived and died and is risen and ascended and glorified to the right hand of the majesty on high. He is over all things. He is higher than the heavens, powers and principalities being made subject to him. We cannot forget him. We must not forget him. Because he is now in that position, high over all. It has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Oh, may that be our state and condition even now. And might he, the Lord Jesus Christ, be the great object of our one desire. So grant it. Amen. We conclude with that hymn, number 147. O thou, my soul, forget no more the friend who all thy misery bore. Let every idol be forgot, but, O my soul, forget him not. Number 147.
O thou, my soul.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.